All right, back here on the Big Show. It is Patriots Monday. We are live down here at Gillette Stadium with Freddie, with Steve, with Pete, with the boys. It's time for our chat with the coach, Bill Belichick. I would ask how you doing today, Coach, but I think I know the answer to that.
I think you're probably right on that.
Was it a
Pete,
Fred,
Steve? How you guys doing,
Coach?
Was there a turbulence-free ride home? Because I know internally probably wasn't, but on the plane, was everything okay?
Yeah. Well, it was. It was a tough loss, and I don't think anybody. Slept very good last night or feels very good today. It's time to move on and start getting ready for Tennessee. But it was a pretty disappointing game and post game.
We're trying to go through this today and trying to figure out where the communication problems are breaking down. Especially, let's start with the offense, first of all. And, you know, again, without knowing exactly who's responsible for what play, it's pretty difficult to break it all down. Is it multiple things right now? Is it just that everybody's on a different page? I mean, it's amazing because you had two great opportunities with the pass to Moss. Brady has already said he overthrew him. Welker has already said on the one that went off his leg, you know, he saw an opportunity and wanted to improvise. Is it a matter of guys just aren't in sync right now?
I don't know. It's you know, each play has its own elements, and things happen from play to play with the different coverages and the timing of them and so forth. We just overall, I think we just got to do a better job. It isn't like we haven't done it before. It isn't like we haven't, you know, hit those plays, hit them in practice, hit them in games. But just, you know, it doesn't take much. And if we have one little thing wrong, then that can be enough to mess it up. And so we just gotta work harder on it. It's not one guy. It's not one play. It's not, you know, one situation. We just collectively, you know, just one or two misses here or there at the wrong time, and you don't score in the red zone, or you miss on third down and you're off the field, or, you know, you miss an opportunity to hit a big play. And, of course, those are the ones that we remember. They're the important plays. So it's not every play, but it's too many of them.
Now, Coach, they didn't seem to blitz that often. Brady had a lot of time to throw, but he looked like he was scanning the field a lot. Was the coverage, because we don't see the overview, so was the coverage that good, or did he see a different – read than he anticipated right off the snap?
No, they played a lot of the game in you know, some type of coverage, you know, to Randy, over top of Randy, and then tried to, you know, squeeze off you know, everybody else. So, you know, we got to do a better job of running the ball, and we got to do a better job of having everybody contribute and be a part of the passing game. And so that's really that's the long and short of it.
So yeah. They were putting a lot more manpower into taking the pass away. That's why you probably went second half more to the run.
Well, we felt like there were some running opportunities, and we at times got something out of it, but at other times we didn't. It certainly wasn't consistent enough. But there were times where they had, you know, less guys on the line of scrimmage around the box there, and we felt like we could, you know, have a chance to run the ball there. It wasn't like we were outnumbered. But we just got to do a better job of blocking them and running it. And but they, you know, they were definitely concerned with Moss, and they had a lot of coverage to Randy, no doubt about that.
They had a couple of long scoring drives. I think it was
97 and 90.
290 plus, yeah.
90 plus yards. Is there anything going on in the middle of that that you can you make adjustments even in the middle of a drive like that to help out the defense getting off the field?
Well, I think in both those in both those cases, and we've had it before this year too, there were penalties in both those drives. So that, you know, whatever the 90 yards is, now it's 75, it's still a long drive.
Right.
But, you know, you start adding yardage in there. And then, of course, you have to take advantage of your third down opportunities, which we didn't do. And, you know, one time we'd bat the ball up in the air, and, you know, they come down with it for a first down.
That was
and,
on know, one
stuff
of those
like
drives,
that. Right? We just, yeah. And then we.
That was third and 14 or third and 17, right?
Yeah, third and 10, whatever it was. And then of course, you know, if you don't give it up on a big play, you have a chance to stop them in the red area. And we didn't get it done on those drives there. So we did have a stop in the red area, but we not on the two long drives. So the answer to the question is, you know, there's several points during the drive that we could have, you know, that we could have gotten off the field. But we also contributed to our own problems with penalties, and that kept those drives going or tacked on yardage that you know, they didn't have to earn that, that we gave them to them on penalties. So, you know, all those things contribute to it.
Why did the receivers seem to have so much space? You talk about the two drives, but a lot of the stuff down the sidelines, it looked eerily similar to what we've seen with the Patriots offense in the past. But they seem to have, in that quick, short passing game, a lot of space out there.
Well, I'd say most of the throws were, you know, under 10 yards. They ran a lot of three-step drop, got the ball out of there pretty quickly, and we're trying to, you know, attack the soft spots in the defense. And, you know, and they did a good job of that. And we, you know, we got to probably defend it better and maybe, you know, do a couple scheme things to, you know, to take some of that away a little bit more than we did. You know, we probably could have done that.
On those three-step drops, he has to be thrown to his primary receiver most of the time. Obviously, he doesn't have time to scan it if he's thrown it that quickly.
No, he just, He just picks the side, you know, where he thinks the lightest side is, and then that's where he tries to throw it. But, you know, he did a good job. He got it out of there quick and you know, hit the receivers, and the receivers were good after the catch. You know, Royal and Marshall, you know, did a good job on some of those little 4 and 5 yard passes of making, you know, 8 or 10 yards on them. And so, you know, our tackling, you know, at times could have maybe been a little bit sharper. And, you know, we maybe need to tighten down on some of those. You know, you never want to get all, you know, get up there and get everybody on the line of scrimmage and worry about a 4 yard pass and then they throw one up over your head. But, you know, when they keep hitting them like that, then you got to take them away. So, you know, we did that on the last drive there in the, in regulation. You know, we got up, we clamped down on some of that stuff and kept them out of field goal range. And then, you know, in the overtime, we really got, you know, we got hit on a couple passes and we got hit on a couple runs where they got outside on us. So it was a combination of things on the overtime drive.
On that, what they run, pony thing, well, they're bringing Wharton out, and then as they brought him back, does that change, of course, obviously, who's covering who? Was that any type of a difficult adjustment where they spread him out and then bring him back under the center after having the halfback back there by himself?
I think that's why they did it. You know, it caused a little bit of communication, and, you know, that they put us into a formation that we had to adjust to, and then they kind of motioned the quarterback back under center at times. Not all the time. They did it both ways. And then when they motioned him back under center, then that gave us an opportunity to get back to what we were originally in, but it forced a little bit of a communication issue. And we had one or two times that we didn't quite get everything right on that.
You've never seen that before with them. Have they ever run that?
They hadn't shown it this year, but, you know, again, we practice for that every week. I mean, we know everybody in the league's got some version of that. But what they did was to try to get into the audible, or, you know, the check game. Is if you check a defense to that look, then they either stayed in it or got out of it and you know, forced you to recheck it again.
Now, Kyle Wharton, I've seen him play a bunch of times, and you get to watch the film. Is he as accurate as he – I haven't seen him that accurate. A lot of stuff was short. It seemed like everyone was reacting quick in the second half and jumping on the short stuff. Is that as good a game as you've seen him play, or was it just guys
– I think that's his strength, is getting rid of the ball quick, making quick decisions. Not that he doesn't have a strong arm. He does, but kind of like Pennington sees things pretty quickly, makes a quick decision, gets it out of there, and gets the ball to guys that can run with it. And they have a very good group of skilled players. With, of course, Marshall's a hard guy to tackle, Royal's a hard guy to tackle, Marino. And so they, you know, they did a good job of, Stokely, you know, did a good job of getting the ball to those guys quick with a little bit of space, you know, gain, you know, 3, 4, 5 yards after the catch. And you know, they had not a lot of big plays, but a lot of, you know, kind of possession plays, and you know, they're able to string together a couple of times and get some points out of it.
End of regulation, they've got a third and long, and you come with a blitz, and that and they had been working that short passing game. The decision to go for the blitz, obviously it worked.
Well, they actually had it picked up, but Jonathan Wilhite kind of went over Marino. Marino tried to cut him, and Jonathan kind of dove over him and pushed Wharton back in the pocket a little bit, and then Tully was able to get him and sack him. But they blocked it. Even though it was long yardage, we were still concerned about the field goal. And, you know, Prather has a big leg, and he definitely get the ball there from, you know, 60 yards. And what little wind there was, it wasn't a lot of wind, but they had what little wind there was in the fourth quarter. So, you know, we were concerned about trying to keep him as far back as possible for the field goal, you know, to end the game. So.
And you called the quick timeout.
Well, once we sacked them, then, you know, make, you know, at least make them punt. You know, you never know. You get a bad snap or, you know, we come very close to blocking a punt earlier in the game. So,
well, they could take the clock. They still had a timeout left. They could take it down to, let's say, 2 seconds or whatever, and then they could call a timeout and get control.
Right? Oh, and heave the ball. And they could,
but heave the ball, throw a Hail Mary or something like that, as opposed to them having to give up the ball to you guys.
Yeah, but there wasn't there like 10 seconds to go or
15, I think.
15, yeah.
15.
Yep. Well, I don't think they want to.
No, I'm saying if you had not called that timeout, they
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, then they would have thrown the Hail Mary with. Yeah, right. Uh-huh, exactly. Yeah.
How did Gerard Mayo plan his return? He looked like he was covering some good ground.
You know, he was active. Yeah, he was active. He was in on, you know, he was in on quite a few plays like he usually is. But, you know, first game back there for, you know, a couple weeks, so there's, you know, I don't think he's probably where he's going to be in 2 or 3 weeks, but, you know, I'm glad we had him, and he certainly helped us out and made some plays, but I'm sure he'll continue to get better here the next couple weeks as he gets his timing back.
Well, did I see him and Guyton on the field at the same time?
Yes.
Was that a nickel or was that?
No, it was in regular
defense.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes. So, and we did that, as you know, in preseason as well.
Yep.
Yeah, we're Gerard actually plays kind of an outside version of an outside linebacker. Gary plays a version of an outside linebacker and Gerard plays inside. Yes.
Well, he has the speed of a cornerback, too. You know?
Yeah, well, both of those guys can run well. Yeah, they cover a lot of ground and they get in on a lot of plays. You know, there are two leading tacklers, and probably, you know, will be, you know, just because of the position they play and the type of speed and range that they both have.
Now, you didn't blitz that much. You blitzed some at the end. But a guy that's running that short passing game like Pennington or like a Peyton Manning, if you're blitzing him, taking guys out of coverage, is that the way to play him?
It just opens up more holes. Yeah. I mean, there were a couple times where we did pressure. We had guys coming free, but the ball was gone, and we just couldn't get there. So that wasn't really a big part of it for us. As quickly as they're getting rid of the ball, you kind of just create more holes by doing that.
Another week, another healthy scratch for Joey Galloway. Now, is it something again where he didn't fit into your scheme? I think it's this particular team, the Denver Broncos. Is he having lousy practices, or is it just your overall decision that it won't fit into the scheme against?
Yeah, well, it's, again, for every player you take, that's, you know, one less player somewhere else. And so four receivers, you know, Aikens definitely going to be one of them for his role in the kicking game. Edelman returned kicks for us, so that's an important role. Welker and Moss are, you know, they're important roles on offense. So then it's just a question of, you know, who the next player is. Do you take a fifth receiver? Do you take a, you know, fourth running back? Do you take a third tight end? Do you take, you know, another defensive back in the kicking game like a Matthew Slater? You know, who are those extra players? And so ultimately it comes down to, you know, you have to cut somebody off. And you know, much as we would like to have all of them, we just got to go to the ones that we feel like are going to have the bigger contribution in the game.
Coach, when did Watson go down, and how much did it affect the play calling in the second half?
Well, you know, in the third quarter, and we lost him. He didn't return, so it didn't affect the play calling as much as it just, you know, Ben's our fastest tight end and our most vertical threat.
It's like
down
the wide
field.
Receiver.
So we don't really have another tight end that does that. We, you know, if we put another receiver on the field, we would have that, but then we wouldn't have his, you know, his blocking presence in the running game and pass protection and things like that. So, you know, Ben gives us some versatility, but we didn't have that for at the end.
When did he get hurt? Because I chart every play, and they never really. It was like halfway through the third quarter, and Phil came on. Phil Simms said Watson's out with a head injury of some sort.
Right.
But I don't remember. It was a blocking play. It obviously wasn't when he was going
for
the catch.
I'm not sure which play it happened on either.
Yeah.
When Light went out, did you bring in an extra back on that side?
No, not really. No, not really. That's, you know, when you're in the shotgun, the back's got to be on one side or the other. So it's really more of a formation thing. You know, Sebastian's played both tackles for us, and he's really done a good job. And, you know, of course, doesn't have the experience that Matt does. I'm not saying that, but he's done a good job for us. And he's a versatile player, played on both sides, done a good job in the running game, done a good job in the passing game, protection. We see him out there every day in practice, you know, blocking our different players. We have big players. We have some fast players. So He's done a pretty solid job for us. So we feel like he can block, you know, the guys he's got to block.
A guy we don't talk an awful lot about, Ninkovich, has himself a sack and a batter down pass yesterday. What's his? How would you assess his overall play?
Well, you know, Rob's really a surprise, kind of a surprise guy for us. You know, wasn't on the roster when we went to training camp, and when we released Vince Red, we brought Rob in and signed him. He wasn't with the team. He had been with Miami for a little bit and also New Orleans, and he ended up making the team, of course, because of his play in the kicking game and his play on defense in the preseason games and in practice. And, you know, Rob's a tough kid. You know, he's got good size. He's got some power. He can rush a passer, and he's a good, strong tackler. He does a good job for us in the kicking game. So he's, you know, kind of a versatile guy that, you know, I think, you know, there's a chance that he can, you know, with continued good play, work some more playing time for himself defensively. You know, right now his primary role has been in the kicking game, but in the opportunities that he's had on defense in preseason and limited in the regular season, you know, he started to show up, and of course that's a good sign to add playing time.
When Adalius Thomas was out there, is he more in coverage because he wasn't at the line rushing the passer very much?
Yeah, well, again, anytime you have a four-man line, until you blitz, until you bring somebody, then the linebackers and the DBs mm-hmm. are in coverage. So and this wasn't the way the game went with a lot of three-step drop and some of the formation that they did. It wasn't a big blitzing game. So yeah, he was in coverage most of the time.
With the new transition to the new coach, how much has changed from 07? Obviously, you're the head coach, and you have pretty much the same stuff. But the implementation of it, has it changed at all of when you put things into situations with the new guy? Or is it mostly you're overseeing it that keeps it the same?
Well, no, I think our offense has evolved over, you know, the past, say, really 5 years, you know, from the 05 season, you know, the 04, 05 season. From what it was in 01 and 02, let's say, and, you know, Charlie's last year here, and then, you know, as it's expanded, you know, under Josh and you know, now with the offensive staff. So, you know, that's what our system is, and that's kind of what we do. And you know, we pick and choose from week to week based on what our opponents do and the matchups we have, what we feel like are the best, you know, best plays to run out of a, you know, pretty broad offense. You know, we have a lot of different options, formation-wise and, you know, with our passing game and running game. So we don't use all of it every week, but we have things that we feel like at one point or another during the season we'll need to use, and then when we do that, we need them, we draw on them.
How much space does Brady have to play with the game when it comes in? Audible, change the play, or is it just a side?
It depends on the play. We can do both. You know, some plays we run, we call them and run them. Some plays have an option, and I would say, you know, whenever we have a play call that really looks like it's going to be a bad play, it's something that we are trying to do and it just doesn't look like it's going to work, then he does a great job of getting us out of those plays. And you know, for the most part, we you know, haven't had a lot of negative plays in the running game, you know, where we just cut somebody loose into the backfield and they come in and, you know, make the play 4 yards in the backfield. I mean, not that we haven't had some tackles in the backfield, but usually it's been more a case of a missed block or something like that, as opposed to a defense that we just can't handle. And the same thing on the blitzes. You know, we haven't been sacked a lot. We haven't had a lot of free rushers, you know, runaway rushers that just come screaming in there on the quarterback. And so, for the most part, Tom does a good job of when a defense presents a look that we're going to have trouble with, of somehow either getting us out of the play or adjusting the play so that we have a better chance to handle it.
Did you get an explanation from the referees about the flag thrown on Brandon Merriweather? Because we didn't get one on TV
No.
or from the announcers.
No, and I'm not really sure what that is, because the flag came out by the side judge. The flag came out, you know, right as Brandon hit
Instantly.
Him, and so I don't know. I don't have an explanation of it.
They described it on TV as two flags, one with the pass interference, which was waved off because of the tip, and the second one being the taunt, because the first one comes out before he taunted.
And so they picked that, and so basically they said
picked
they picked
the first
that
one up,
the interference.
And the other one coming in from the end zone was the taunt. The refs did not say that, but whether they assumed it or whether somebody got to them up in the booth and told them after, because it came later on
right.
in the broadcast, they came back and that's what they said, which would make some
that
sense.
At least
not,
yeah, that makes
right.
sense. Yeah,
if it's tipped, you pick up the flag, right?
Yeah, that does make sense, yeah. Right.
How about the the tackling on the game. And I know Marshall is terrific with the yaks, but they seem to get with that short passing game a lot of extra yardage. Were you happy with the tackling in that game yesterday?
No, we need to do a better job of tackling. No, absolutely. That was a big emphasis point going into the game, and they have very good runners and very guys that are hard to tackle either because of their size and their power, their quickness, or balance, or a combination of some of those skill sets. And of course, the biggest issue in the tackling is also space. The more space those guys have, the harder it is to get them, and the more you can box them in and confine them, then the less space they have to break tackles. So. It's really a combination of those two things. We need to do a better job of keeping it tight, and we also need to do a better job of wrapping them up when we, actually do get them.
Seemed like Vince had a good game controlling the line of scrimmage and penetrating on pass rush, although he had a couple of neckties around him that the refs didn't notice.
Yeah, overall the running game was, they had 100 yards on 25, 26 carries, whatever it was. And, I wouldn't come out of the game saying that's what beat us. There were times where we certainly could have done a better job on the outside runs, and we let Marino get outside, and there were a couple times where we missed some tackles on him. But the bigger problem, of course, was the possession passing game and third down and two scores in the red area. So overall we got to do a better job on those things and keep working on the running game. But for the most part, that wasn't the major problem in the game.
No points in the second half and 0 for 6 in third down. You're not going to win a lot of football games, I don't think, with those.
Well, no, that, exactly right. No, if you can't score, then that's a problem. And offensively, we really couldn't get much going in the second half, and that's not where we want to be.
What happened on that last possession? You're on the 50-yard line. Looks like the way Gostkowski is kicking, you get 15 yards. You got a shot at three up there. What happened in that series? Because that was...
Well, we fumbled the ball and luckily got it back. And then, Tom got hit as he was throwing inside the Welker, which looked like, Wes was kind of coming open. It looked like we were going to have, a solid play there. And he got hit just as he was releasing the ball. And so we lost it.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Tennessee Titans. I must tell you, when I looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year, I thought this might be a team that's 5-0 by the time you face them. They're 0-5. We'll get into that when we return with the coach live down here at Gillette Stadium. Back here in the Big Show, it's Patriots Monday. We're live down here at Gillette Stadium. 0-5 Tennessee Titans. It's interesting because every team you face so far to this point has been unbeaten, and now you're going up against a team that I am shocked, as I think most people are, and you probably are as well, that they're 0-5. More injuries this week as they're down to – Fred's going to start a corner, I think, this week for them. But obviously, they're still a good football team. This is a football team that was damn good last year.
Oh, real good. They've got a lot of good players, and of course they lose by a field goal to Pittsburgh in the opener. They lose by a field goal to Houston. They lose to the Jets because they fumbled two punts. It's 14-9 with a minute to go in the half last night against Indianapolis. So, this is a real good football team. They've got probably as good a back as there is in the league. Great receivers, good quarterback, good offensive line, real good front seven. Very experienced secondary. I mean, I know a couple of those guys are banged up. I don't know who's going to be there and who isn't. But, Finnegan's is an excellent corner and, good safeties and good coverage units in the kicking game, good kicker. So they've got a lot of good players. It's easy to see why they won 13 games last year. As we always say, records don't really mean anything. It could be 5-0 or 0-5. It's still the same team coming in here, and we're going to have to play well.
Is this a team that will put a lot of pressure on your quarterback?
They're not a big blitzing team, but they have a great front four. Regardless of who's in there, they play about six or seven guys. They roll them all through, and it doesn't really matter who's in there. They're all pretty good, and they're very aggressive, and they're fast. And certainly the edge rushers, Kirsch and Van den Bosch, bring a lot of pressure off the edge. But Jones is an excellent inside rusher, and I mean they got a lot of good players.
What does a coach like Fisher tell his team when there were such high expectations early on, and now they're sitting at 0-5? What do you express to a team? What can you tell a team at that point to keep them focused?
Well, I'm not sure what Coach Fisher's doing, but I would say that our approach is every week's a 1 week season. It doesn't really matter what our record is or isn't in the past. The game we can have any control over is this one that we play this week, and so that's you know, whether we're you're 5-0 or 0-5, it's you know what the teams do this week, not what they've done, you know, in previous weeks. So I imagine that's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Kind of contrast between Denver, as you said, this team runs a lot of straight offense. They're a power team, like to run right at you and try and knock you over. Have they changed much over the? I haven't seen them as much this year, obviously, because it's 0-5. But
well, they run a lot of the zone play, you know, a lot of the stretch play with Johnson, and he's got, you know, tremendous speed. I mean, this guy is really fast. He's a great running back. So you got to really be careful with him because everybody's at the point of attack. He'll start one way and go the other, or bounce it outside, and if he hits a crease, he's gone. Like I said, there's not too many defensive players in the league that could catch this guy. He's already had, you know, a couple 90-yard runs, and so, you know, when he gets out in the open field, it's, you know, it's pretty much all over. So, you know, they like to get him outside. He likes to go outside, but I mean, he's not afraid to hit it up in there. And Lendale White's more of an inside guy, you know, more of a tackle to tackle guy, you know, kind of like Lamont Jordan, you know, that type of a player, you know, tough, hard nosed runner. So, you know, that's the running game, and they got a real good offensive line. You know, they can block, they can run the ball, they can throw it. They've got good skill players, and the skill players are hard to tackle. They're big receivers, so, you know, Gage and Britt, and you know, those guys have great size. Scaife, Crumpler, of course, you know, big strong guys. Washington that can run, and they're hard to get bring down. You know, 6'4", 6'5", you know, 215, 220 pounds. So they're a challenge for the corners to tackle.
In a weird kind of way, is it being 0-5, obviously, and having the type of talent and the coach that they do. Is it as dangerous to play a team that's 0-5 as it is to play a team that's, you know, undefeated like Denver was last week?
Right. Well, yeah, I think it is. Again, Pete, we try to take that out of it. Mm. You know, we try not to focus too much on what the team's done in the past. You know, we respect everybody, and every team in this league has good talent and good coaches and good players. That's the nature of the NFL. So whatever any team has, then we have to, you know, really try to get ready for that. We expect them to, you know, play their best game against us, and therefore we want to try to, you know, match it with our best performance. And I'm sure Tennessee's a team that, you know, Jeff does an excellent job with them. They got a very experienced veteran group of guys, and their backs are to the wall, and you know, they've got to, you know, they got to start doing something here soon, or it's, you know, it's going to be all over. And you know, I'm sure this will be, you know, their chance to kind of make their last stand.
You know, these guys have been through the mill, 13-3 last year. My large red friend over there asked you what you'd say to him. You don't say anything to veterans, right? You know you're 0-5, and they've had success over the years. They just got to stop making stupid mistakes, just play sound fundamental football, and they get back on track.
All right. Well, they you know, they don't make a lot of – they haven't had a lot of bad plays this year. I mean, the Jet game, you know, they fumbled the two punts, mm-hmm. and that definitely cost them. But you know, again, that, like the Pittsburgh game, you know, they made a great play there on Hines Ward to strip him at the end of the game to, you know, to get it into overtime. You know, they had some big plays against Houston, and you know, they move the ball every week now. It's not a question of, you know, they can't move the ball, they can't score, or can't play defense. You know, they've just come up, you know, a play or two short a couple times, and you know, we know that feeling. You know, it happens to pretty much every team in the league, and they're. But it's not like they're getting blown out of games. They're very competitive, and they got a good football team.
You watched last year in the playoffs. They dominated the Baltimore Ravens 400 and something yards to 200, and they kept fumbling the ball going in the end zone. I mean, this is a team that last year probably, you know, without mistakes, wins the Super Bowl. That was a dominant team, and they end up.
They could easily have been there. Yeah. Sure, could easily have been there.
That's how crazy it is. One or two plays, you're right. You look at this team, and I mean, I guarantee you, at the beginning of the year, you never thought they were going to be 0-5 looking at that schedule. I mean, that is just.
No, and they really have an outstanding group of players. They really do.
And they were in it. You're right.
They're very talented.
In the first half last night, unfortunately, they were settling for 3 instead of 7. It came back to cost them. And then that, you know, the second half, the Indianapolis' passing game was just. And right now, I don't know if anybody is playing the way Peyton Manning is playing. It's just incredible.
No, the Colts are
with young receivers.
Both Mannings.
Manning. They've been very impressive, and they performed. You know, it wasn't as much Tennessee being bad as it was Indianapolis being real good last night. And that's and again, I think, you know, you can't lose sight of really the quality of team that Tennessee has. I mean, I understand what their record is, and I know they're not happy about it, and there's no moral victories and all. I'm not saying that, but they have a quality team, and you know, Pittsburgh's a good football team. They played well. Indianapolis, they played well. You know, Jacksonville that particular day played a great game. So again, they've faced some teams that have played maybe their best game of the year on the particular day that they played them, and you know, that doesn't slight their overall talent or their overall level of play.
Coach, does it amaze you that the interest in you hugging someone or shaking hands at the press is, I mean, after the game, they're following you around with the camera. Is it, did he find him yet? I haven't seen that with any other coach ever. I don't know what it is.
It's the love. It's the love.
You ever see anyone other coach?
That he exudes.
Yeah. Well, I talked to Josh before the game, and then I talked to him after the game, too. And, you know, we said, hey, we'll just catch up after the game.
But the obsession with the kid following you around and wondering if you're going to shake the hands.
Didn't they have the camera on you about the red bean bag, the red flag thing early in the game? Somebody had to run into the chest and take it out. They just showed that on television. I don't get it.
Yeah, my friend's right about
obsessed with every little move.
I've never seen anybody, though, follow someone around to shake their hands. After the game, they're watching the coach, they're watching the quarterback, they're watching the cheerleader, whatever. You, it's, there he goes. He's looking for the, let's see if he shakes hands.
Well, it's funny, we mentioned it earlier, but you had like two questions asked in the post-game press conference, and Brady had a couple asked as well. But whether he went over there and hugged Josh, it's amazing. I mean, you guys have dealt off this tree, and obviously coaches that have worked here for you and for this organization have found some success out there in getting jobs. But like anything, I think they expect that there should be a love-in at the end of and we do that here. We should explain when we're done with this interview, right? We do.
Yeah,
we all hug.
We almost had a fist fight for the show because Steve was wrong about something.
But it is. There's kind of an obsession, and it's almost like this tabloid obsession, more so than the football game as well. I mean, there were enough questions, I think, to be asked about that game and, you know, how it did not work out for you in the end. And yet
an overtime game, an exciting game. Next thing you know, Bill, if you got a hold of a guy and looked him in the eye and told him how much you loved him, man, that's bizarre. I wanted to beat up my mother after I lost the game. I mean, you know, I mean, you get angry and you want...
I wanted to beat up your mom after you were born.
Yeah, but she's 260.
Do you expect any shifting or shakeup in your offensive line if Matt Light's unable to play?
Well, right now, Sebastian's our third tackle. Yep. So if that means he's our second tackle, then he's our second tackle. We have other guys on the line that can play tackle. Mm-hmm. Certainly, Nick's played left tackle in the past, yep. and Sebastian's played right tackle. So we'll, you know, take a look at the options this week. But you know, but I would say Sebastian is definitely, you know, just like he was yesterday, he's the next man.
Any update on the Matador wannabe? Is it possible he might be signed with the team this week?
No, there's no updates on that yet, Pete.
Junior Seau, of course.
Those Matador wannabe. Yeah.
They'll call him senior now, though.
Senior.
You
know,
he's senior. Older than you.
One final question before we let you go. Obviously, you're going to game plan against Tennessee. That's what you do. What does this team need to do this week that they did not do last week? What do you need to do? Obviously, you talk every week about getting better. We've got to get better every single week. What is the main point that you need to emphasize this week with this team?
Well, the most important thing is getting ready for Tennessee. You know, what the matchups were against Denver and what they did and what Baltimore did the week before that, and those matchups are different this week. It's none of the same players and really none of the same scheme. So we have to really dig in and do a good job in our preparation on Tennessee, what they do, how they do it, who their players are, what their strengths and weaknesses are, what they like to do, what kind of tips and indicators that we can get from them to kind of give us a little bit of an edge of what to anticipate might happen in different situations in the kicking game on offense and defense, and do a good job of studying and being prepared. It's like taking a final exam every week. You know, it's almost in a different course. You know, it's all football, but it's different, you know, different matchups and different teams. And it always comes down to, you know, us being able to execute the plays that we, you know, elect to run against them and having a good selection and having things that are, you know, give our players a chance and maybe give us a little bit of an advantage and then be able to go out there and do them. So, you know, doing a better job of coaching, better job of playing, better job of preparing and make having that all come together in the operation on Sunday. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what we need to do.
All right, Coach. Group hug.
Thanks.
Have a good week. We'll see you on Monday.
All right. Thanks. All right. Thanks, Pete. Thanks.